Have you ever wondered how Sunday became the day for churches to hold their weekly worship services? Why isn't it some other day, perhaps like Friday, the day Jesus died on? Or better still, why not Saturday? It is in the fourth commandment. Well, if you ask, most Christians will tell you they go to church on Sunday because that's what the Bible says to do. But does it really? Join us today on Facts or Fables as we examine why do we go to church on Sunday? Welcome to Facts or Fables, where we seek to separate Bible facts from the fables surrounding Christianity. Joining me today to discuss our topic is Diego Boker, and Diego, our viewers can join us on Facebook, can't they?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, Gary, we love our viewers. Last time we've had so many comments, discussions there. So the first thing we ask you guys is just please, if you're watching right now, tell us where you're watching us from. Give us a shout out. If we have a chance, an opportunity, we squeeze you in the program. If not, we'll try to respond to you guys directly. But Gary, yes, the topic today, it is a very interesting one. Most Christians that I know, people that love the Lord, very sincere faith, they do go to church on Sundays. And they truly believe this is the biblical thing to do for several reasons. For instance, the last time we didn't have a chance to cover this, but now I have some questions. 1 Corinthians 16:1-3 says this. Now, about the collection for the Lord's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Then, when I arrive, I'll give letters of introduction to the man you approve and send them with your gift to Jerusalem. Gary, this text seems to indicate they were meeting on the first day of the week and they were even having special collections offerings. What else can you ask for?
Yeah, it sounds like an offering being taken at church. That's how a lot of people read it. But the text actually doesn't say that. In fact, if you notice in the text, it starts off as mentioning it's an offering for the saints, not of the saints. It's not a offering being taken of the people, but it's for some people. And also take note that they are to lay something aside. And when you look at that in the original Greek language, a lot of translations put it more accurately by saying in the Weymouth, it says, let each of one you put on one side and store up at home. The NIV says, saving it up. The New American says, set aside and save. So this was not a command to take offerings at church, but to store an offering up at home. And I want to share with our viewers the Disciples' Literal New Testament Bible translation of verse 2. Here we have it on the screen. Every first day of the week, let each of you put aside, lay away, is what the Greek's saying, beside himself, that is, at home, storing up whatever thing he may be prospered in order that when I come, collections might not be taking place at that time. So when you look at it in the original language and in these translations that reflect that, you see that there was a famine that Paul was going to bring the relief offering to. So we know from scripture and from history that there was a famine in Judea, and Paul was going to pick up this relief offering when he went through Corinth and take it to the church members in Jerusalem. And this famine is spoken of twice, once in Acts 11, the other in Romans 15. Let's look at Acts 11, 27 through 29. I'll read it. It says there, and in these days, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. Then one of them, named Agabus, stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. And we know Saul is Paul. So there you have it. Paul was just instructing them, Diego, hey, at home every first day of the week, put some money aside, some stuff aside. When I come, I'll pick it up. I'll take it down to Jerusalem and help those who are in the famine.
Okay, I can see that. But I can also very simply, easily see them starting up at home and then coming worshiping together and just worship God and break bread. There's another text in Acts chapter 20, verses 7 through verse 11. Let me read that to you. It says this, "Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart for the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together. And in a window sat a certain young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep." This is a funny story, actually. He says this, "He was overcome by sleep. And as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. But Paul went down, fell on him, and embracing him, and said, 'Do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him.' Now, when he had come up, he broke bread, he had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till daybreak he departed." So, Gary, here's just another example. The disciples, they're all just meeting together on the first day of the week, and this was a great worship service. They went all the way up until midnight, and this guy falls, and you know the story. But it's clear that they were breaking bread and worshiping God on the first day of the week.
Yeah, so it is. They're breaking bread. But what we do, Diego, is we overlay on the Bible our current 21st century biases and what we experience today. So we read breaking bread, and that's a term that churches often use to represent the communion service. But breaking bread isn't really, biblically speaking, when you look at it, it's not the communion service. It can be, but strictly speaking, it's not. Look at Acts 2, verse 46. Where Paul it records the early Christian church. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. These were fellowship meals. This was getting together in people's houses to eat. This wasn't something done in the temple or in the synagogue or the church somewhere. And notice they broke bread every day, not just on the first day of the week. And we also have examples where Paul broke bread with unbelievers. It meant they were eating a meal. Now, the second thing you need to notice in the story in Acts 20 is the timing of it. It took place on Saturday night because in the Bible times, the Jews counted time from sundown to sundown. So the first day of the week for them started Saturday night. It ended Sunday night at sunset. And so we know that this was an evening service because you pointed out Eutychus fell asleep. It says that Paul preached till midnight. It says there were many lights in the room. That's because it was dark outside. Eutychus, it's getting late. He falls asleep. He falls out the window. It says the dark part of the first day of the week. And then it says Paul preached until the break of day. And then he goes on a trip. He leaves Sunday morning and goes on a long journey. And we know the amount of miles he traveled because it tells us he didn't go to church on Sunday morning. So, you know, this text actually disproves Sunday keeping since Paul's not going to church on Sunday. What they did is they'd worshiped all day Sabbath. And since Paul was leaving the next day, they just spent the whole evening together and the whole night continuing to encourage the church because he was never going to pass that way again. And he wanted to give them everything he got to encourage them.
Gary, as I'm watching here, listening to what you're saying, it is amazing what we can find out when we read the scripture a little closely. Okay, I never could even imagine that the first day of the week would actually be counted as the evening of Saturday night, which would be the first day of the week. You know, this is a good insight, But I still have some really good questions and a very important text that I want to run by you. Friends, if you're watching us right now on Facebook, please give us a shout out. Let us know where you're watching us from, and we'll pick it up this conversation right after the break. Thank you for watching Facts or Fables. And guys, you know what? We'd love to have you part of the conversation. So just post a comment, your question. I mean, whatever you have there in your mind, post it right there, and we will try to bring up live in the program. Thank you.
Have you ever wondered if there was more to life? Do you have big questions with hard-to-find answers? The Discover Bible Guides are Hope Channel's free gift to you. These 26 beautifully illustrated guides cover major themes of the Bible and answer some of life's deepest questions. Visit hopebiblestudy.org or call 888-446-7388 and begin your journey to discovery today.
These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
Welcome back to Facts or Fables, where we bring the truth from the scripture and remove all the fables surrounding it. And today we're having a very good discussion here. It's really, do we have biblical basis for the change from Saturday to Sunday? And today we look into some texts that seem to indicate that Sunday is really a day of worship. And Gary has been explaining to us that it's not the case. But Gary, you better get ready, because I want to bring you some texts here that I really want to see what you have to say. Before that, also, all of our friends who are watching us on Facebook, we love you guys. Why don't you give us a shout out? Let us know where you're watching us from. If you have a question, a comment, we will try to squeeze within the program, or at least we'll try to respond to you directly there on Facebook. So, Gary, let's get to this. Okay. I hear you, what you're saying about the scriptures in some verses, but Jesus was resurrected on Sunday and on the first day of the week. And that should be a symbol of overcoming death and ushering a new age, a new way of worshiping God. The first day of the week, it is actually the day of worship. As a matter of fact, in John chapter 20, verse 19, look what he says here. It says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, which you know it's Sunday, okay? It says, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. So here we have text, first day of the week. You know, yes, they may be fearful, but at least they were like assembled. You know, there should be some sort of worship service, or they're starting something new, does it not?
It's not what it says at all. I agreed with what you said that, you know, that Jesus resurrected on the first day of the week. He ushers in, you know, the gospel for us so that we can be saved by what he did for us on Calvary. And yeah, we honor the resurrection, but the way Jesus says to honor the resurrection, you can read it in Romans 6. Paul says we honor the resurrection as well as the crucifixion by being baptized. You see, the problem is we've got a fourth commandment that says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That's a solid law of God. And nowhere in the New Testament do you find it's changed. You know, when they tried to change circumcision so that Gentiles didn't have to be circumcised, there was an uproar, and you can read all about it in the New Testament. That wasn't even one of the Ten Commandments. If they had actually changed the fourth to Sunday, you would read all about it. So here's what they're doing, and you pointed it out in the text. They were not gathered on the first day of the week to worship. They were hiding. They were in fear of the Jews coming to arrest them. So we honor resurrection by baptism, not by keeping Sunday. I mean, you could honor Friday because it's the day Jesus died on. Without his death, there'd be no resurrection. So what we need to do is just follow what the Bible says. And this is not a text supporting keeping Sunday holy or a transition from Sabbath to Sunday.
Well, yes, the text does not say that. You know, I like what you said, saying that what the text like says is about being fearful. They're fearful, and what you mentioned of Romans 6. But the argument of saying it's nothing, it's not mentioned, or there's no mention of the change, it sometimes just to say, oh, it, because it doesn't say anything, it doesn't necessarily mean it's not the case. But here's one text that I want to see what you have to say about it, because it is a very well-known text. It's in Revelation, and it really shows that when John is receiving the vision, says this, not, it says, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and when I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet. So this is just the beginning of the verse here. But here is John, the apostle who followed Jesus. He's probably in his 90s, okay? This is like in the year 90 after Christ, 60 years after he ascended into heaven. And he's mentioning the Lord's day, and everybody knows that the Lord's day, it's the first day of the week.
Yeah, everybody knows, right? But it comes back to what you just said a moment ago. You know, we have to determine as Christians, are we going to take our faith from the Bible, or are we going to take what everybody supposedly knows? Everybody once knew the world was flat. And there are still some flatlanders out there who believe the world is still flat. They believe it's a whole hoax, all the pictures from space. So I'm not too interested in what everybody knows. What I'm interested in is, what does the Bible say? And I believe anybody watching this who's really interested in the Bible will agree with that. And so, yeah, people met on the first day of the week. We read earlier, they broke bread from house to house every single day. What you have to find is a text that says, I'm transferring. God says, I'm transferring the Sabbath, the Sunday, nowhere in there. And this text, the Lord's Day in Revelation 1:10, never says the Lord's Day is Sunday. We're superimposing our bias again on it. In fact, if you want to research this and let the Bible define its own terms, just research within your Bible, Lord's Day. And what you're going to find is five times this phrase is used to describe the Sabbath. And Diego, I'd like you to read Matthew 12, verse 8, if you will, because that's just one occasion where it says the Lord's Day is the Sabbath day.
All right, I'll do it. It says, for the Son of Man is the Lord even of the Sabbath. All right.
So the day that Jesus says he's Lord of is the Sabbath day. That's said five times in Scripture. So the Lord's Day isn't Sunday. If you read Revelation 1:10 and you get Sunday out of that, you're reading into it. You're not reading what it says.
Okay, fair enough. But here's the thing, okay? We also should not be judging on one another because of days of worship or what you eat. As a matter of fact, I have a text for you, Gary, here. Look at this. It says, Romans chapter 14. Let me read it to you. Verses 5 through verse 6. That says, one person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day, observe it to the Lord. And he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat and gives God thanks. So, Gary, this is it. Even if that would be the day to go to church, nobody should be judging each other based on what day you worship God.
Well, you know what? I totally agree. We shouldn't be judging each other for anything. What we should be is united in heart and spirit to seek God's truth. And so somebody might baptize differently than I do. They might do the Lord's Supper differently than I do. They might keep a different day as their worship day than I do. Our job is not to judge each other, but we should come together and pray and seek to see what the Bible says. And Diego, I'd like to do that. I'd like to address this text in Romans 14 after the break because we're hard up against it.
Thank you for watching Facts or Fables. And guys, you know what? We'd love to have you part of the conversation. So just post your comment, your question. I mean, whatever you have there in your mind, post it right there. And we will try to bring up live in the program. Thank you.
Have you ever wondered if there was more to life? Do you have big questions with hard to find answers? The Discover Bible Guides are Hope Channel's free gift to you. These 26 beautifully illustrated guides cover major themes of the Bible and answer some of life's deepest questions. Visit hopebiblestudy.org or call 888-446-7388 and begin your journey to discovery today.
These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
Welcome back to Facts or Fables. Diego, you were just talking to me about Romans 14. Do you want to just kind of summarize again what you get out of that text?
Well, absolutely. It's very clear. It says that, you know what, you should not be judging one another over which day you worship. If you're going to do it for the Lord. If you don't want to don't do it for the Lord. I mean, that's the gist of it. So even though everything you've said, which makes sense, I'll give you that, okay? The Saturday, the seventh day, there's no change from Saturday to Sunday, but it really boils down to my preference for me to do or not. So why should you make a big deal about it?
You know, there are some things that are preference, definitely in life and in the Bible as well. But when it comes to the fourth commandment, it's one of the 10 commandments. You don't have a preference of whether you're going to kill somebody or not. You know, thou shalt not kill, Diego. Remember that. And you don't have a preference to be able to say, I guess I prefer not to have adultery, commit adultery right now. No, thou shalt not commit adultery. The fourth commandment says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So when you look at Romans 14, it never says anything about the Sabbath. But if you read through the New Testament, Paul's writings, he wrote Romans, you read the Corinthians, they were having a struggle there between the Jewish Christians and the Gentile converts. You know, we already talked earlier about circumcision. That was a big issue. And there was also this issue about holy days from the Moses' law, the ceremonial holy days, like the Feast of Tabernacles, the Passover, and all of those. Those were also kept as holy rest days. And did you notice in the text that it mentioned you shouldn't judge also on what you eat? And so you see the eating was tied to the feast days. We call them feast days. And so you had the feast days that were holy days. That's what he's talking about. He's telling the Jewish and Gentile Christians, stop arguing over these days. But it had nothing to do with the seventh-day Sabbath. And I'll tell you why we know that. Paul was a Sabbath keeper, and he encouraged people to keep the Ten Commandments. Look at 1 Corinthians 7:19, where Paul's distinguishing between ceremonial and the Ten Commandments. He says, circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. It doesn't matter whether you're circumcised or not. But keeping the commandments of God is what matters. And the fourth commandment is in the commandments of God, and that's what matters. And as I mentioned, Paul was a Sabbath keeper. You see that in Acts 17 and in Acts 18. Look at Acts 18, verse 4. Here it says, Paul reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks, not just the Jews, but the Gentiles as well. So Paul wasn't telling people in Romans, it doesn't matter which day you keep. He doesn't even say that. He never mentions the Sabbath. He's dealing what's very clear in the New Testament, the ceremonial days that dealt with eating and drinking. Diego?
Okay, well, yeah, I'll give you that, especially the text you read, you know, making a differentiation between ceremonial law, circumcision is nothing or is everything, and the commandments of God is really everything. I get that. But yeah, here's the thing. There may be a lot of people just watching this right now. Maybe some of them might be watching this for the very first time. And here's the thing. If the Bible, as you're saying, it's so clear on this, why is it that still so many people go to church on Sundays and believe this is what the Bible says? How did it really start? Well, how did it come about?
Well, you know, we covered that thoroughly, the Sabbath, in our last program. But, you know, to answer your question, why are people doing this? We're not reading the Bible for ourselves. And we're taking the authority of church, what church pastors tell us, over what the Bible says. We're short on time, but let me share with you just one quick quote here. This is from James Cardinal Gibbons. He was a leader of the Roman Catholic Church, and he wrote in his book, The Faith of Our Fathers, this: you may read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. You'll not find a single line authorizing the sanctification of Sunday. The scriptures enforce the religious observance of Saturday, a day which we never sanctify. And then after that, you read from Peter Geyerman, another famous Catholic. He wrote a book, a catechism, called The Convert's Catechism of Catholic Doctrine. Question: why do we observe Sunday instead of Saturday? We observe Sunday instead of Saturday because the Catholic Church transferred the solemnity from Saturday to Sunday. And so in our last program, Diego, we talked about how the change happened from Saturday to Sunday. And church leaders recognize that. Here you have the Catholic Church saying, we're the ones that changed it in early Christian history, second, third, fourth century. And everybody's doing it because we have the authority to change it. It's not found in the Bible. And if we had time, we'd look at Protestants, evangelicals, agree with the historical fact that's mentioned there by Gibbons and Geyerman. So that's where we are today. We're basically following tradition, or fables, if you don't mind, fables over the facts of the Bible when we substitute Sunday in the place of the Bible Sabbath.
Well, this is really, really interesting, Gary. And You know, I have to think and stop thinking about, you know, because you just mentioned, it's just not about Roman Catholics. It's about even Protestants and evangelicals. You know, this whole idea of Sunday is just not, it is not a matter of Protestant and Catholic anymore. It's just throughout Christianity. But if there's somebody that's watching us at home right now, they love Jesus. They have this passion for Jesus. And they're watching this right now and they just realize, well, the day that I should really set aside is not Sunday or any other day, is Sabbath, Saturday, the seventh day. What would you tell them? Because I'm pretty sure there are people who aren't just on listening for the first time, or there are those who aren't, have heard it before, but not on the fence. They don't know what to do. They don't want to leave their churches or their friends, their support group. What is the first step or second that they can do to start experiencing that?
I think the first step is to be surrendered to God and say, Lord, Christianity isn't about me. It's not Diego Anity. It's not Gary Anity or whatever your name is. It's about Christ. It's about following Christ and the Word of God. He is the Word of God. And so first there needs to be a surrender. Lord, I just want to do your will. It may cost me something. Hey, Jesus said, if those who don't take up the cross and follow him are not worthy of him. Christianity cost us something at times. And so be willing first to follow Jesus and his word. Once you surrender to that, then the next thing is you get into the word and study it out. Contact us at Hope Channel. We have plenty of Bible study materials. And then as you study it out and you answer the questions like we've been doing here on Facts or Fables, then you come to your spirit-led conclusion. And then you can go check out a Sabbath-keeping church. Get online. Google the nearest Seventh-day Adventist church to you. And go visit. We welcome people with open arms. And there you're going to find people that don't judge you. They accept you and welcome you, Diego.
Wow. I hope this can resonate with some of our viewers right now. We're watching there, sitting there, and just wondering, hey, what do I do? And you know, Gary, I believe, you know, that God is so merciful that he loves us no matter what. It doesn't. God, you know, you're changing the day you go to church. It really is not going to change how much God loves you. But if anyone is being compelled, touched by the Holy Spirit to do this, I know the Lord will bless them, give them the strength and everything that they need so they can follow this. Friends, we want to thank you so much for joining us today on Facts or Fables. We hope you were blessed. We hope to see you guys again. And again, give us a shout out. We'll get back with you and I'll see you in the next topic. God bless you.